We're going to look at the Feast of Tabernacles. That's the time of year we're in. And you could title this, if you like titles, Dwelling with Christ. But I'll say it this way. As you know, there are as many opinions about the last days as there are preachers. And I have the microphone today, so you get mine one more time. There's a lot of different views out there. I don't know if everybody knows what the millennial reign of Christ is. It's the thousand-year reign of Christ. And there's different views. There's premillennialists. There's dispensational premillennialists, historical premillennialists. I'm a historical premillennialist. There's amillennialists, postmillennialists. There's the pan-theologists. It's all going to pan out in the end. There's a... But the postmillennialists and amillennialists basically allegorize the thousand-year reign of Christ in their eschatology. Eschatology is the study of last days, last things. But it's interesting to me because in many of the circles of the historically amillennial churches, they literalize eat my body and drink my blood to say that the priests can transform the body and blood into the bread and the wine into the body and blood of the Lord. So it's an interesting flip from, I guess, our point of view. But I just want to say we can't just immediately dismiss those views because I think they have a better strategy for discipling the nations than we do. So I'll just say it this way. How many Pentecostals on the Supreme Court? A zito. How many Catholics? Quite a few. Because they have a view toward discipling the nations. And so Mike's not here and Frank's not here and a lot of people aren't here. But it's okay. But there are people. I don't subscribe to this thing. We had one kid out of five that was, and they're not here, that was really this way. Mom and Dad, I need this because everyone has one. You guys, anybody else have one of those? Yeah. And there's some pastors that are that way, some preachers that are that way. Everybody should be doing this. Everybody should be running for office. Everybody should be. It's like, no, not everybody. But if you're called to it, do it. President Reagan had a dispensationalist Christian as Secretary of the Interior, James C. Watt. Do you guys remember? And he said the environment, he's over the EPA, right? So he said the environment doesn't matter because the return of Christ is imminent and it's all going to burn. Do you guys remember that? Because he had to resign right after that. So if you're in charge of something and you say it doesn't matter, it's all going to burn, you're probably not going to be in that job that long. But I would put that in the category of a failed eschatology. That's a view of the end times. It doesn't allow for anything to happen in the present. So we need a strategy to fulfill the Great Commission, not a kumbaya sit-in where we all sing songs about leaving in a secret rapture. Now, I say stuff like that, and people say, you don't believe in the rapture? I believe in the rapture, but I believe it's going to happen when it happens. I don't know when it's going to happen. It might happen in my lifetime. It might not happen in my lifetime, but I need to plan like it's not and live like it is. Does that make sense? So that may sound a little funny, but when I was saved and called into the ministry, I was told I didn't have time to go to college because Jesus was coming any day. And finally, having a family and going to college remotely through correspondence, which wasn't easy, was the result. So if you have a plan, whether you're going to college or not going to college, I don't really care, but whatever you're doing, but go ahead and plan. Go ahead and live your life as if plan as if you're going to be here for a long time, but live as if he could come this afternoon. So, the whole time, because if you were a Christian during the 80s, or if you were even alive during the 80s, and some of you weren't, it was over and over and over again. Up until 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming in 88, But you guys remember Hal Lindsey? There's no way we're going to make it past 83. The planets are going to align. There's going to be earthquakes and volcanoes. And they never talk about seeing Jesus coming in the air. It's always all this horrible stuff. So, but if you want to miss the horrible stuff, just believe the way I do. No, which may or may not be right. But they were saying that, and that was when I was a new Christian. I felt called into the ministry, and I thought, why should I plan to go into the ministry if I'm going to leave in 6 months? 42 years later, here we are, you know. But having said all that, I am a premillennialist, and because you're here, you are too by proxy. I don't support an imminent exit strategy. I support a discipleship strategy. So that's kind of, I'm just trying to bring some balance because there's so many extreme views out there. There's people that think we're going to elect all these Christians and we're going to transform the world and dominion theology. We're going to make it a Christian world and then Jesus will return and step in and he won't have much to do. Okay, so I have read the end of the book, and it doesn't really look that way to me. But all right. So a lot of people, I think because there's been so many of these extreme positions put out about the return of Christ, people have just stopped thinking about it and believing in it, but we can't do that. And the nice thing about the cycle of the feast of the Lord, is they talk about Jesus' first coming at Passover, the church age of the Feast of Pentecost, and the second coming of Christ in the fall feast, which is what we're in now. So the fall feast, let me just say it simply this before I get ahead of myself. We'll be all caught up to meet the Lord in the air when the Lord returns, not when the American church predicts. Okay, because we're the ones that do that. Because we know everything. You know why we know everything? Because if aliens attack Earth, they're coming to the United States. I've seen the movies. They always come here. Now even the big monsters are coming here. They used to only come to Japan. I've watched too many movies, and I'm going to move on. So the fall feasts of the Lord, foretell the return of Christ. The Feast of Trumpets foreshadows the tribulation and the final call to repentance. The Day of Atonement foreshadows the Day of the Lord. The Feast of Tabernacles foreshadows the millennial reign of Christ on earth following his return. Tabernacles represents temporary dwelling with the Lord. So we believe this to be 1,000 years. And we get that from Revelation 20. One chapter before Dennis's license plate, right? Okay. So Revelation 20, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Now the amillennialists think that that happened when Jesus came the first time, and I'm like, are you serious? He's bound? He's not doing anything? He's locked away somewhere? I don't know. I don't think so. Verse 3, and he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. Yeah. I like that. I like that wording. And set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released and steal an election and await. You must be released for a little while. I told you, I got a lot of sleep. I'm in a good mood. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of these who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their foreheads nor on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Please tell me you don't believe that's already happened. I mean, I just, it's when you read this chapter, you just have to go, well, this is the future. The people that have died serving Christ have not been raised again to reign with him yet.
Please.
All right. Oh, but that's a metaphor for the church age. Sorry. I totally lost my place here. But the rest of the dead did not live again till the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection, and blessed and holy is he who is part in the first resurrection. Those who go to the second resurrection, I'm not reading anymore. Those who are in the second resurrection, it's not going to be good. Okay, so we went first, not second. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison. Why? Just. Whole big planet. Big, huge planet, Earth. Garden. Two trees. Why isn't the snake on the other side of the planet? Why isn't he in the tree of the knowledge of that stinker? That's a theological word for a bad guy. He's a bad dude. So 6 times in 6 verses, he mentions 1,000 years. Do you think he's trying to communicate something? So I want to look at 2 passages that reveal the Feast of Tabernacles. First, the Feast of Tabernacles, which was initiated by the Lord, is in Leviticus 23, 33 through 36. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month shall be a Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. For 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. On the 8th day you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. That's a burnt offering, or what newlywed men call dinner. I'm just trying to have some fun. It is a sacred assembly, and you shall do no customary work on it. So this is the final feast of the year. The nation of Israel has already repented for their sins during the 10 days of awe, you know, initiated by the Feast of Trumpets. The high priest has offered the blood on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. Sin has been atoned for another year. Now this is Old Covenant, okay? New Covenant, Jesus did that, and it's one and done. So now comes the harvest celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles, and it's to celebrate and remember their time in the wilderness when they went from Egypt to the Promised Land. They lived in tents with the visible presence of the Lord in their midst. I mean, what was that like? During the day, there's this pillar of smoke over the tabernacle. At night, it's a pillar of fire. I like to call it heating and air conditioning in the wilderness. But it's more than that. It's the visible presence of God. So it becomes a picture for us of a future fulfillment, yes? All right. The fall feasts were also known as latter rain harvest because Israel has 2 harvest seasons. They have 2 rainy seasons and 2 harvest seasons. The spring harvest and the fall harvest. The spring harvest is the former rain. The fall harvest is the latter rain. So you see the former rain and latter rain in the Old Testament. It's actually referring to that, okay? When you hear somebody preach about it, they're usually preaching about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which is okay. I like what Joel said. He said there's coming a harvest that will look like the former and latter rains together. I think that's what's next. That's my opinion. The prophet Zechariah prophesied of a future celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles when Israel will celebrate tabernacles with the survivors of those nations that attack them. So I just want to say this kindly, not maliciously, but of all the wonderful qualities found in the chosen people, I don't think forgiveness is one of their strong suits. You know, they hunted Nazis for years, and I totally understand why. But my point is that God's going to do something so powerful that everyone, even those that were at war with each other, are going to celebrate and worship God together. And only he can do that. So I want to read to you from Zechariah, chapter 14, beginning verse 16. Now, just for time's sake, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up from all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even up upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, they have no rain. There shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So there's going to be a big change. I have some bad news for the people that don't like Israel or think that God's done with the Jews. It's going to be the capital of the world. And the King, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is going to dwell there and rule and reign. We're going to rule and reign with him. It's going to be pretty amazing. Thank you for that. In that day there shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like bulls before the altar. Every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seed therein. And in that day there shall be no more Canaanite in the house of the Lord. So again, for time's sake, I didn't read the whole chapter, but I recommend it to you because it's one prophecy that needs to be together. I just don't want to cover all of it because we would be here till dinner. But the chapter begins with, let me read verse 1 to you. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and you shall, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. So it's talking about all the nations that are gathering together to fight against Israel. For those that believe that was fulfilled in 70 AD or even perhaps 125 AD, that was just the Romans that attacked Israel. It wasn't all the nations. Okay, so it's the Lord, when he gives a prophecy about the future, he fulfills it the way it's spoken, not the way we think. So if it hasn't been fulfilled the way it's spoken, it hasn't been fulfilled. But there are patterns in the Bible where things are fulfilled and fulfilled and fulfilled over and over and over again. So 70 AD and 125 AD are pictures of that coming, of those coming wars, but they're not the fulfillment. So these patterns become a guide for us understanding prophecy. You guys have heard of the Antichrist, yes? He's a bad guy. He's a politician full of demons, which in my world doesn't make him very unique. But he's going to come and he's going to stand in the temple and declare himself to be God. Well, there's no temple there, so there needs to be one. All right, so, and people say, well, they could build a temple in less than 3 years. And I'm like, okay, cut all that stone. Anyways. Antiochus Epiphanes, you guys have heard of him. Everybody reads about old Antiochus. He erected a statue of Zeus in the temple of his day, killed the priests and slaughtered pigs on God's altar. So he was a type of the fulfillment of the Antichrist who's coming and is going to do the abomination of desolation. So he's a type. Hadrian did a similar thing in his time in 125 AD following the Bar Kokhba revolt. He put up a temple of Jupiter, the Roman version of Zeus. This took place on a reconstructed and enlarged Temple Mount, which is what we see in Jerusalem today. So the abomination of desolation has had at least two fulfillments, but there's coming a final one. I'm just saying it this way, in my opinion, there has to be another temple. All right? Still have to be born again, right? You can't, there's no There's no dual covenant. There's no separate covenant for Israel and the Gentiles. We all get saved by one Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. So let me go through these verses quickly with you from Zechariah, verse 16. The nations that are left, so this is from the great battle. I believe it's a reference of the Ezekiel 38 and 39 battle. So if you want to read supporting passages, read Ezekiel 38 and 39. These are the nations that will come up to worship the King, the Lord of hosts. Lord of hosts is Jehovah Saba. And if you read Ezekiel, you see they come in not believing in the Lord and they leave declaring the Lord, he is God, Jehovah, he is God, is what they're saying. So we see these similarities in these prophecies. Those who are defeated and survived are now duty-bound along with the families of the earth to worship the King, the Lord of hosts. For 1,000 years. So again, it's 1,000 years is temporary. It sounds like a long time to us. It does, doesn't it? But it's temporary. It's not eternity future. So why not celebrate Passover? Why tabernacles? That's a great question, you guys. Thank you for asking. I just want to put that out there. Because the surrounding nations never accepted the Lord at his first coming. They're worshiping Allah, they're worshiping Zoroastria, they're worshiping Buddha, you name it. They're worshiping everything, right? But once the Lord returns, he's going to establish a theocracy. Jerusalem's going to be the capital. And that makes me incredibly happy. Verses 17 through 19, if they don't pay their respects and celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, they experience judgment in the form of a drought. It won't rain. So think about this. Where do these nations go? To Jerusalem. Has this ever happened in history? No, but it will. Remember I said to you, I think a couple of weeks ago, if you don't believe in creation, then you're going to have a hard time believing in the second coming of Christ, who is the Lord of creation. I don't care how you believe in creation, but you need to believe in creation. Because there's old earth, young earth, there's all those different. I mean, we're funny. Like I said, there's as many opinions on all this stuff as there are pastors. Verses 20 through 21, I'm going to bring this in for a landing. What will they find in Jerusalem besides Jesus? The Lord's house, the temple? So again, begs the question, is there going to be another temple? There must be to fulfill these prophecies. All right, so what part does Israel play? It's their people, their city, their temple, just like Daniel said. So all the prophets align if you don't tamper with what they say. You just take what they say and just put it together. It all works. So that in the millennial reign, the Son of David is on the throne. He has saved Israel and enabled them to forgive their attackers and welcome them to the feast. And I think that's the biggest supernatural part of all. Not because they're Jews, but that would be hard. If someone attacked this country and just really took a big toll on us, and then we said, hey, you want to come and go to church? That'd be a miracle. So I just don't see how anyone can say this is fulfilled, but many do. I think it's a future event. I think it's a mistake to allegorize all of these verses and to literalize, eat my body and drink my blood. I think it's backwards. All right. So, closing thought. Notice everything will be holy. I don't think we can say that yet either. I mean, I can't even look at the guy in the mirror and say, well, yeah, everything's holy. No. I always tell people, I just want to make 51% so I tip the odds in my favor. So that when it says there's no Canaanite, those were people that were cursed for Baal worship, Moloch worship, sacrificing their children, gender dysphoria, I mean, you read what they were doing, and it's where we are right now. And so say, God, have mercy on America. Give us the gift of repentance. So just in closing, we have a hope and a great future, yes? Jesus is going to come back, and you might think, well, I don't know, this life is hard, this life has challenges, and it does, but we're going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years over them. So I think this is what follows this church age that we're in now, the return of Jesus, again, his millennial reign on earth with us. Israel have borders promised to Abraham. Then will come eternity future, new Jerusalem, new heaven and earth.